Hello, 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 everybody. We are once again having a marvelous Monday with Common Sense Uncensored. And I would like to remind everybody that if you'd like to buy some GFBS merchandise, you can go to gfbsmerch.com. And as always with the show, follow us on Rumble. Any questions or comments, call 701-213-0863. And I will get your question out to our guest. And our guest today happens to be Mr. Leif Schneider, who is running for Minot City Council, and we're going to be discussing a little bit about what makes that job a desirable job in today's world. So, Leif, how are you doing today?
I am pretty good. It's actually pronounced Leif.
Leif? Okay, thank you. And Leif, I got to ask you, in today's world where politics are known pretty much as a combat sport, why are you running for city council in the magic city of Minot?
To be blunt, I've had enough. The best advice I ever got, I think, from my father was when, as a young kid, I hated the fact that he was always doing political stuff. He actually served in Bismarck at the state legislature for a while. And he said, well, if you don't like how decisions are made, if you don't stand up and want them made the way you want them made, they're not going to care about how you want them made.
Precisely.
In Minot, we've seen tax increase after tax increase. I've always been one to pay attention, and I've called out the current city council when I thought they did something wrong. I've tried to lobby them to influence a decision my way, and I just don't like the way it's going. I followed the economic development scene for quite a while, the Magic Fund. Really, on July 5th, 2022, I pointed out how the city council was not following their own guidelines. They were essentially giving Magic Fund sales tax dollars collected to two members of the board for the Chamber EDC. And the guidelines stated you can't do that.
What did they say to that when you mentioned it?
Well, they all kind of didn't say much. They sat back in their chairs. I presented them with the same written thing that I said. And lo and behold, they rewrote the guidelines. But
you're
it was
kidding.
A 7-0 vote. And wouldn't you know it, the conflict of interest policy that exists no longer does. Now,
wow.
A sitting member on the Minot City Council can receive magic funds.
Wow.
As well as a board member on the Chamber EDC, even though the Chamber EDC has the contract to do economic development for Minot.
And because it's the city, it isn't impacted by like the state ethics board, which is only for the legislators, correct? So they just literally wrote themselves a blank slate.
Yeah, they can do what they want as long as they disclose beforehand in writing and then abstain on their own votes. But
wow.
my version of conflict of interest, that doesn't fly. It's different than theirs, I guess.
No. Because mine matches yours. And for example, this seems to be something that is rampant. The Ethics Commission is hosting training on conflict of interest rules for the state legislators. So color me not surprised that you're having issues at your city level with the ability to people to not only recognize an ethics issue, but to just figure, doesn't apply to me. If it's written somewhere that there's a conflict of interest, we'll just erase the rule. I just don't understand how they think that's right.
And the only thing that was mentioned to me was, well, there's some people that are fairly influential, and we don't think they should be barred from these opportunities. Well, the thing is, it's the same people benefiting over and over and over again. And especially the way the rules are set up in Minot. See, outside the Renaissance Zone, you're only allowed magic funds once. You can apply once, get them, and that's basically it. inside the Renaissance zone, you can get them over and over and over again.
Interesting.
Now, they've redetermined what magic funds are. Like, now we have the facade improvement program,
Yep.
which is a forgivable loan. I think it's a 3-to-1 match. And so the same person is essentially buying a property, redoing it, taking advantage of that program over and over and over again. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad program,
Nope,
but
but it would
it's
be
hardly
nice if
fair.
the largesse of our tax funds were being spread a little bit more amongst everyone, shall I say, rather than the anointed few.
Well, instead of a facade improvement program, what if it was a garage improvement program? Or,
Okay.
granted, you're not going to get much, turnover for dollars for that. But people have had it because property taxes are insane, but
Well,
yet it's the same people benefiting over and over again.
and I was just going to say, the problem with the property taxes is you said garage improvement program. Hell, there's a lot of people out there that would love to be able to use a little bit of assistance to improve their property, but they're not doing anything and their valuations are going through the roof. So even if they aren't raising the mills or the property taxes, they're getting to the point where they can't afford their homes.
Right, they can't afford their homes, of which they already own some of
Right.
them. That's the hard part.
Do you have any idea what the average is of the increases? Because, for example, our property tax on our home in Hillsborough has gone up every year for the last 3 years. Last year, it went up over 79%, and we just got a love letter in the mail saying it's going up again because of the valuations. And so I happen to know that in the little town of Reynolds, theirs went up anywhere from 30 to over 60%. People aren't going to be able to afford this, whether it's coming through on escrow, which means it's impacting their bank loan, or as you said, they own it outright.
I want to say in the last 7 years, it's somewhere around 300%.
Wow.
Now, I got to clarify that because there was a point with, you go back to the oil boom, we were depending on sales tax too much.
Okay.
Like, it's an accurate statement to say that property taxes were actually too low. We didn't collect the revenue we should. And then when it went bust, it really hurt.
Yep. But the other side of that coin, though, is the people that have been in Minot forever, the solid citizens, the people that quite literally built Minot, are now the ones that are being taxed out of their homes.
Yeah, and literally, some people are leaving. Like, you wouldn't think hearing about Western North Dakota and all the growth, but are we, like, we're at the point now where people are leaving. Now, there are enough people coming in that it kind of balances out, but that's not how we sell the community, that's for sure.
No, and if you're losing what was the backbone of the community and the people that have lived there forever, are you losing them through choice or quite literally through force?
Yeah. People on fixed incomes, you've got
Yep.
like grandparents who want to stay here because their grandkids are here, but they can't. Like, it gets absolutely ridiculous.
So, what are they actually supposedly, all of these property taxes? I happen to know that Minot is going to be a smart city. It's destined for that. And that means there's going to be a lot of construction. I also happen to know that there is talk about expanding the base and some other things. So, they're looking at the picture is massive growth. So if you think that the property taxes are going to go down, which is always the promise when they have massive growth, because they say, well, these new people coming in, they're going to take the tax burden off you. But I have to say, every time I've looked at that, I've never seen that occur. What is your taxes going to be purchasing for you as people of Minot? Has anybody
That's
said?
interesting. everybody hears growth and they instantly think it's good. I don't necessarily all the time. Especially if you give incentives for new real estate development, you know, you're
Correct.
talking new infrastructure, new water, new sewer, new streets, everything. That's expensive. Now we can get into that later, but we've heard infill is a much better way to go. But then why do we incentivize the development by our new hospital?
Yep. And why are these well, I want to say I'll call them TIFs. Why do they seem to be so reoccurring? Why? I know Epic just asked for an extension on their TIFs because, gosh darn, one of their buildings didn't come through as completed on time, and the city council just handed it over to them.
Well, I don't have the perfect answer to that, but it makes me wonder, and it's one reason I've had enough. Originally, that was, as I recall, it was supposed to be two floors of commercial space and five of residential, split between apartments and condos. Well, as it sits now, it's two floors of apartments. I don't think there's any condos, and the commercial space is all shell.
Really?
So maybe somebody has some trouble with math. I don't know, but it seems to me those who have a vote, those that sit at the dais, who voted for the TIFs for Epic and at the tracks by the hospital, it was a 7-0 vote every time, always in favor of it, and always with a chamber EDC letter of endorsement. Somebody's having some trouble with math because I don't see it adding up.
And I don't see the $500 relief that I'm supposed to be getting on next year's taxes when I got my love letter just recently. That's already gone.
Yeah.
So I'm not terribly confident, shall we say, that this is going to be handled at the legislative area, and I certainly know that the cities don't seem to be in any hurry to solve the problem. So, what would you be able to suggest should we get you elected? What would be your method of trying to bring some sanity back to the arena when it comes to this sort of stuff?
Incentivizing new growth when it's already, well, the desire for growth is already there. You talk about the base retrofit.
Yep.
We're extremely short on housing right now. Well, why on earth do we incentivize it then?
Good question.
It makes no sense. If you want to build a neighborhood, you're going to have to pay for it. I like nice things too, but I can't afford some stuff, therefore I go without.
One of the people that I am friends with in Minot said that they were told that they need to have their streetlights replaced. And they're older folks, they're in an established neighborhood, and they were told the bill for the streetlights was going to be $400,000. And it's because they're putting in the smart streetlights for the smart city. And they're not going to be able to afford that.
No, I do think they amended that. I don't think it's the $400,000 version. I think it came in at 73. I can't quite recall. But here's the other problem with that is they were wired incorrectly.
Oh
They
my
basically
God.
were lighting without a ground. So whose fault is that actually? It's not the people who own the house that have a street light out in their front yard.
No.
You know, inspection at some level failed.
And the fact that the people have got to handle that to me is insane. I'm going to take our very first commercial break for executive properties. Paul, take it away.
Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Diane says Executive Properties did a roof project and remodeled a bathroom in our house. We were happy with their quality of work, and the projects were completed in a timely manner. We will use Executive Properties for our next home project. Get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273.
Okay, we're back. And I know that they say that they're having to do a lot because, of course, Minot is growing and it's important to grow. They're talking about a lot of new schools and other things like that. Are they not? Development in that area because, of course, of all the new people that are coming in?
They did build another high school, but ironically enough, in the news, and this is the school board. Keep in mind, I have no say in that.
I understand.
But they did just close two elementary schools.
Okay. And they're going to do what with those?
I have no idea. But they're not going to have students in them.
Okay. Well, I actually took a look at Minot schools. And in English languages, they're 26% proficient, 15% are advanced. That still leaves 59% that are below par in basic English. Math was 22% proficient, 14% advanced. That still leaves 65% that aren't even proficient. And when I look at science, 35% were proficient, 10% were advanced. That means there's 55% that aren't proficient. New high schools aren't going to fix that. So when I look at things like this, and someone tells me they have to raise my property taxes to build a new school, I look at them and I go, for what? Our kids aren't learning. And you ask me to keep throwing money down this educational hole. So I know you're not on the school board, but what would you do to take a look at something like these proficiency scores, the property taxes, the fact that we've emptied two elementary schools to build a brand new high school, and this is the type of return we're getting on our investment?
Oh, boy, I grew up the son of two teachers.
I'm a teacher,
too. That's interesting.
That's why I'm bringing it up, because it's near and dear to me, because the one thing that I really pushed for was for my kids to be proficient, and they're my students, but they're my kids, when they left that building. And I can tell you, the fancy chairs or the fancy walls or the artwork is not what makes a kid proficient.
No, it's just get back to basics. Like, I was never a teacher, but I did work with youth and even up to college. I was a hockey coach for 17 years. So I realized the value of helping young kids and adults. And boy, I kind of bite my tongue and I sound like a hypocrite when I say this, but if we're building high schools just so we can have more sports teams, maybe that's not the way to do it either. Do I think we should have had a second high school years ago? Yeah, probably. But now to see what they're building, and keep in mind the school that I went to, I grew up and I went down, you know, to Roosevelt Elementary. Mm-hmm. It's 100-year-old school. It's kept up well, but it's not fancy by any means. It's not, I don't get the spending of money on buildings.
I don't know. There's a school in Williston that they're going to be building, and they even admitted that it's almost $700 a square foot. And the state average is close to $500 a square foot, which is still outrageous, by the way. But $700 a square foot. So what are our property taxes actually paying for?
Well, this is where I do feel confident in commenting, because In mine, that's kind of weird. We have the Chamber EDC Board of Directors that I told you about, right? The superintendent of public schools, Minot Public Schools, is on that board of directors.
No conflict there.
Now, Mark Vollmer, the superintendent, apparently voted in favor of TIFs as an economic development tool.
Okay.
So it makes no sense why we have a school board employee shooting the school board in the foot as far as funding.
No, it doesn't. I mean, that's technically their bread and butter. So the fact that he should believe that anybody shouldn't be paying property taxes seems rather suspicious.
It's an odd situation, to say the least.
Now, I know you have schools that are at the base as well as in the city and things. I'm ignorant, so I do not know. Do the property taxes and stuff go to support the schools that are on the base as well? Do you know?
I don't believe so. I think they actually get funding from the federal government for that. I'm no expert. I don't know for sure.
Okay. If you, besides property taxes, which we'll get back to, if you could pick your top three gripes that really motivated you to say, all right, I've had enough. I gotta run. What would you say your top three are besides property taxes? So let's say property taxes is number one.
Okay, property taxes, yeah, number one. The conflict of interest. I mean, it's just my version is different than theirs,
Okay.
front and foremost. And then how some of the committees, well, I guess beneath the city council, but city committees are administered.
Examples?
Well, you take the Renaissance Approval Board. Okay, it's essentially a committee. But they're the ones that you have to apply to for the facade grant.
Okay.
Now, I do not like how they are administered. It took city staff about, I want to say, 4 or 5 months to get the meeting minutes up
Oh,
so I
gosh.
could see them. And lo and behold, and it's a first come, first serve grant program. As soon as
Yep.
you apply, you're supposed to hear yay or nay. There was talk of giving Epic a double facade grant, so we're talking $190,000
Wow.
for the M building downtown before they had even applied. They
Wow.
hadn't applied yet. That's their own words in the meeting minutes. So
Okay.
there's an issue with that.
Yeah, I have a huge issue with that.
Now it turns out the facade grant was already spent for the most part. So come October, there's a budget amendment to add all of a sudden $513,000 to the facade grant program.
Convenient. This is what happens, in my opinion, when this is called crony capitalism for me. Certain people are picked to be the beneficiaries of government money, and I'm using air quotes when I say that, because there is no such thing as government money. There's only the
Right.
people's money that is put to use by government. So the seven people that are sitting in those chairs are quite frankly handing out hundreds of thousands of dollars to the anointed special few, and the rest of us get to pound sand and just keep handing over our hard-earned bucks and saying, "Thank you, sir. Can I pay for another?"
Yeah, it that's where I have. If I can back up a
Yeah,
second,
please.
when I called out City Council at July 5th, 2022, what they were doing is there were two board of directors who were receiving funds from the Magic Fund. They weren't getting it directly. It was going through, I want to say it's the Souris Valley Planning Council.
Okay.
And what one of the current city councilman did his last action before his term was up, and he served on the board for the Souris Valley, was to make the motion to instead of the Souris Valley Planning Council, instead of them having the decision on who got this magic fund money, it was to turn it over to the loan approval committee beneath them. So now you had three, I think there were three individuals, there was two loan officers and somebody else, who had no official position with the city. There was two loan officers and someone else. They were not elected by anybody, and they were essentially administering tax dollars. Now, I do have to give, her name is Lisa Olson, took that spot after that gentleman's term was up. She did correct it. So some of the time, maybe city council does listen. And now there's a full vote of their board. So that's at least one good thing that has happened, but I still don't care for how some of the stuff is administered.
Okay, so I'm not the most brightest bulb, but when I look at the way this was handled as you describe it, I'm looking at, in my opinion, it's almost like money laundering. No, we're not getting it directly, but we're passing it through this department and this committee and that committee so that it all looks good on paper, but we're still getting the money.
Yeah, it was basically like Souris Valley was acting as a clearinghouse.
Right.
And as soon as I started drawing attention to it, the director, she resigned.
Convenient, isn't
And I
it?
did find that kind of odd, but
Yeah. Gee, if there's nothing to see here, why would you run for the hills? Just a question I like to ask. So, but you see, the problem is that this is rampant throughout the state. There's a sitting legislator that's getting a $100,000 grant for his business from the state of North Dakota. Bismarck-based Two Track Malting LLC is getting this $100,000 through the State Agricultural Diversification and Development Fund for equipment to expand operations and to meet, and I quote, the growing demand for craft malt for breweries and distilleries. Now, this isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's owned by Greg and Stacy Kessel, Arrowkay Farms, all right? Who's Greg Kessel? A state senator from District 39. This becomes very interesting when you realize that just this week, Fargo Brewing, which is also a craft brewer, just declared bankruptcy and are busy restructuring due to the drop in the market. So, I have to say, this is not just a city problem, it's a state problem, but are the cities learning from the state what to do with our money? And it's not good. What do you think about being able to actually influence anyone into reinstating some of those magical rules that disappeared when you brought it to light that they maybe shouldn't be benefiting?
Well, it was interesting because I attended the meeting then because they agreed to rewrite the Magic Fund guidelines. And it was interesting because attending the meeting, I knew what direction it was going. And then one of the councilmen actually out in the parking lot, I took it as a compliment because he said, "Well, Leif, you're a hard one to impress." And maybe that's what we need more of. Whether it's at the city level, the state level, it reminds me of the book Animal Farm, right? All animals are equal, but pigs are more equal. That's where we're heading. That's.
Well, you've described it very, very appropriately because the crony capitalism and the chosen few of the elites, even at the city, county, and whatever level, are definitely, it's starting to actually really show. It may have been well hidden before, but now they're just appear to me to not care. They're just blatantly out in the open going, and to you. And that's the way I feel about it. I'm going to do my next commercial break right now for Oh for Heaven's Cakes because I want everyone to know that there's nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods. And that's where Oh for Heaven's Cakes comes in. You'll find the best cupcakes and cakes for any special occasion or just a treat. Walk in to find out more, but I'm warning you, you won't want to leave, and you won't leave empty-handed. Oh, for Heaven's Cakes is located on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall. They're open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays from 9 to noon. You can give them a call at 701-757-CAKE. That is 701-757-2253. Or email them, oforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. And you can be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins at Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. Okay. Before the show started, we were talking a little bit about how you are an at-large city council, so you get to cover the city and talking to people and seeing what goes. And the one thing that I've discovered when I'm out talking to people in the district and stuff is there's so many people that agree with us that Houston, we have a problem, there's something wrong. But they don't believe that their vote is going to make any difference. And if we can't get people to show up to vote, how are you going to get in and how are you going to solve the problems? What do you think?
Well, as we talked earlier, like it used to be apathy. Well, that to me means, yeah, we really don't care. Like people are angry now. So you still have to talk to them and turn that anger into turnout. That's the only thing I can think of. I was knocking on doors once the weather got nice to get signatures to get on the ballot. And nobody that I talked to was saying, yeah, I'm okay with how things are. Things are pretty good. No, that didn't happen.
What do you think the answer is to get people to understand that? I used the example before that if there's 600 people in a district and everybody goes out and votes one way or the other, and suddenly there's 750 votes that come in, we can at least go, we have a problem. But if we only have out of those 600 people, 200 or 300 that actually legitimately vote, but we appear to have 550 ballots, how are you going to be able to discuss whether or not those people are legitimate votes or not? Because there's nothing glaring. And I understand that people are tired. But I just think that the only way to ensure that our elections are true is by that method. I can't think of any other way to do it. I just don't know what the answer is going to be. Do you have any ideas at all?
No, low turnout hides a lot of things. The only thing that I can suggest doing is educating voters, mm-hmm. and motivating them to go vote. In Minot, very, very few people understand the details. You take the Trax TIF, for example.
Yep.
They don't understand how that actually works. And when you explain in detail that there is no incentive for the housing, it's just the community space, it's just the concert venue, and they pay Wheatfield taxes on that,
yep.
for 5 years, while here you are in your new house, and you're assessed every year, and you pay increased taxes every year, it seems. And then when you tell people that, no, money that should be going to pay for schools, the county, fire police for the city's general fund would instead be going to pay for a parking garage for Epic, then all of a sudden now they're motivated to go vote.
Why do you think that these things are hidden as well as they are? We have lovely names for them. We have TIFs. We have mills. We have valuations. And I love it how every time they raise my valuation, they tell me how lucky I am because it means I have a property that's worth more. I'm like, it doesn't mean diddly unless, A, I want to sell it, B, someone that I know can afford to buy it, which right now the housing market's not exactly zooming, and C, money's worth anything. And right now, we're not batting 1,000 on any of those. What do you think?
It sounds good, and yet it disinterests people, so they don't care. I had an eye appointment, and this gal was checking me in, was asking me about this and that. And I explained, I kind of ruined her day, but at the same time, I was providing information that was factual. And she was disheartened because everybody, they think, oh, this is going to be great. We have this concert venue and it's sold as something positive for the community,
Yes.
but it also costs. It costs dearly. And you try and sell something and put a different face on it, that's what people fall for. That's why they're given these names and these details that it sounds good, and then people aren't, they're disinterested. They don't follow anymore. They don't pay attention.
I'm always amused, is probably the word I can attach to it, at the people that are so enjoying these grants, like your facade grants, which is basically a free loan that you don't have to pay back. But the grants are still our money. It's not a
Yeah.
government grant. It's the people providing money for you. Why can't they seem to make that connect?
I do not know. And in my, not with that particular instance, those are sales tax dollars.
Wow.
Like, we could take sales tax and apply that towards infrastructure, towards fire, police, basic services. Now, if we can learn anything from the Bismarck legislature, it's that maybe a ballot initiative, we shouldn't take the idea that, hey, guess what? You voters don't know what you're talking about. And
Yeah.
in my thought, the Magic Fund was actually a ballot initiative. What they did is they redefined what economic development is and then created the facade grant, and that was a council move. So just getting rid of the Magic Fund doesn't really work. The council, I don't think, should do that either because it was a ballot initiative. If someone wants to say, you know what, let's start a ballot initiative, get rid of the Magic Fund, by all means, have at it.
So I have a question because we understand we're buried under these property taxes, we're buried under the valuations. We've got the ballot initiative that is going through that will end property taxes. Now, it won't end them, but what it will do is it will freeze them at the latest rate, and the state will be, again, the state will be providing the money again. Through other means, we'll be providing it. But if that comes through, your job on the city council could become very interesting because once we take away that ability to just keep having the people throw money in your piggy bank whenever you think you want something bright and shiny, what do you think the answer is going to be? Because they're going to have to come up with the money somewhere, or they're going to have to learn how to spend within their means. And I think they're going to try the first one.
Yeah. If elected, I'm not going to say I'm looking forward to that hurdle, that's for sure. But the will of the people is the will of the people. Now, here's the thing. You look at the legacy fund and how much money is in there, and the numbers of $1 billion a year supposedly covers all these government entities if they're frozen at the rate they are now. Well, there's only $9.5 billion in there. How quick are we going to spend through that? You know, what do we got? Maybe 7 years at the most, and then it's probably going to be gone.
Well,
So there's all kinds of
if
questions.
they keep not allowing the oil tax, I love how they keep postponing that tax too. They keep saying when it reaches a certain price, it's supposed to kick in and elevate, and they seem to manage to always say, "Oh yeah, but we don't really mean that." And so we're supposedly such an oil and energy rich area, which Minot can attest to. But supposedly all the perks, where are they going? So I'm left
Yeah,
sitting here
I
going,
wouldn't say the people are receiving those perks
no.
per se.
No, and I agree with that. And you mentioned that housing is going to be needed. And Paul, could you play that one video? This comes from Britain, but I want people to listen to this video, and I will explain why I'm having it played here in a second. And here we go.
that was from the council, and yeah. you got this on the 12th of January. You moved in November, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you got this letter, and just spell out what this letter says.
That letter says that they, because the property is derelict, that they can compulsory purchase it. If there's any repairs to be done in it, they could take it off the price of the property.
Yeah.
And these properties are for migrants.
It's absolutely extraordinary, isn't it? And how did you feel when you got a letter? You moved into your new wonderful home, you settled down, law-abiding citizens, yes. and you get a compulsory purchase order from the council accusing you of occupying a derelict home. How did you feel when you got this?
After paying £200,000 for it, we didn't feel very well.
No, it must have been one hell of a shock, mustn't yeah. it?
It was an awful shock. And when I got that, I felt sick. And when I went down, we went down to the council the day we got that letter after we read it. And the lady in there, she said, don't worry about it, it's just a standard letter.
We have been so hollowed out as a nation, we've turned our backs entirely on the territorial integrity of this country to the point where it's become standard to repossess houses.
But why is this always that it's for the immigrant and not the indigenous population?
Yeah. Well, veterans. So this letter was from
okay,
the council.
So
you got this
the reason
on
I'm,
the 12th of January.
Hang tight there. The reason I brought that up is because you mentioned the fact that Minot needs housing. And when we're looking at the fact that Minot needs housing, I'm not talking about the fact that they might be looking to tax people out of their homes to allow immigrants to come in, but I am saying that that would solve a lot of problems for some of the people that they're saying are going to be being imported in for when there's changes to the base, when there's all sorts of other things. They're saying they're going to see a huge influx of population, and it's going to come very, very quickly. And they're going to need to have places to put them. So they're talking about building massive apartment complexes and everything else, but that's still not going to be the answer. And I'm looking at the fact that while they may not be able to, as in this case, eminent domain you out of your home yet, how convenient would it be to property tax people out and suddenly have those homes available on the market? Now, say I'm wearing a little tin hat, that's fine, I can live with that. But doesn't it seem interesting that this seems to be occurring in a coincidental way? What do you think? Am I too far off, maybe, or what do you think?
Well, at the last city council meeting I was at, they just concluded the housing study, and it lists where we're short on housing. And you know, obviously, most communities are the same way. They're short on lower income housing. That's just the way it is. Most residents, if not all in Minot, spend too much for their rate of income against national averages, say.
Mm-hmm.
So there doesn't seem to be much for incentives to build low income housing. That's for sure. Well. And it's ironic because people complain over and over again about restaurants, about, you know, just basically service work industries. Like, they're begging for help.
Yep.
They can't get anybody to apply. They can't, like, if anybody wants to move here, there's a job available, but they can't afford the housing.
Interesting. You
know, if a one-bedroom apartment is $1,000 a month, well, at $12 an hour, how are you going to afford, like, why would they move here? So it's really defeating, it's self-defeating, essentially. Now, yes, we're going to need housing with a base retrofit. It's going to be a big operation. I think there's some dreamers, maybe, that think that they're going to stay here after the retrofit is all done.
That's what I was wondering.
I don't really see that working, but maybe, I don't know.
See, that's what I was wondering, because I'm going to talk about that, because a lot of these people that are coming in doing a job, and they're out of here. But I've got to do my last commercial break for Redemption Shield. And I want to make sure that everybody understands. You go to gfbestsource.com. At the bottom of the homepage, you click on the shield to order, and you're going to get 10% off. And you can order today. Redemption Shield. Take it away, Paul.
Have you noticed the ever-alarming 400,000 cell towers that have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%.
Okay. We tried to get a video to play, but we couldn't. It was an Instagram issue, but whatever. But I want to make everybody aware of the fact that in Atlanta, Georgia, there are over 19,000 homes, and they're starter homes, what they would consider to be in that price range, that are currently owned, entire neighborhoods now, that are currently owned by three corporations. The corporations are going in and buying them up. And they're no longer for sale. They are now for lease. And these homes, which would have been a way to get people to come into the community and start, you can't purchase. So if you're bringing people in and you're building mega homes, what's going to happen when you property tax people out of the supposed starter homes is it even going to be a for sale market, or is it going to do as is happening in Atlanta, where they're going to be leasing homes, which again does nothing to bring permanence to a city? What do you think about that potential for possibility?
I can very easily see that happening. Now, here in mine, it's been interesting because I constantly run into people that think, oh, I don't pay property taxes, I rent.
Yep.
And I just shake my head and go, wait, hold it. The whole reason your rent is as high as it is because that property tax is just being passed on to you as part of your rent.
Absolutely.
Anybody can go look on the assessor's website, the city of Minot, Ward County. Just look at the GIS map. You can get to what even your building, if you rent an apartment, you can find out what the tax rate is for the whole building.
Mm-hmm.
So renters do pay property tax. They just don't see the benefits in building equity.
Right. And I'm going to throw it out there. For example, here in Grand Forks, Epic is doing the same thing that they are in Minot. They're building downtown in the Renaissance Zone. They've got commercial on the bottom. They've got apartments on the top. But they're TIFT. But if you go out there and take a look at what the rents are for these buildings, they're not passing along the fact that they're not paying proper taxes, even at this point. Some of the apartments on the top are $5,000 a month. And they have yet to pay a penny in property tax. So what the heck is going to happen to those rents when property tax comes due? And why are they so expensive right now, seeing as how they're not paying property tax? These are questions this little old lady would really like to know. Where's that money going?
I have a problem with government entities picking winners and losers.
Yep.
I think it's the role of, be it city government, to provide basic service. I do not think you should say, this real estate developer, you're going to get this deal, it'll work out great. And you guys over here that have rentals, well, tough. You've been doing it for a while.
And the thing with renting is, again, do you really put down roots? And yes, with this construction, with the retrofit and everything else, we're going to have a lot of people come there. And I understand when I read the proposal, which I did, that the hope is, well, these people, some of them are going to want to stay. How many of them do you really think are bringing their families?
Yeah, I...
How many from the oil field brought their families?
it was a temporary job, and I would send money back home, and that was it for the most part. And now, I can honestly say I know some great people from the base.
Yeah.
That are wonderful people involved in the community, and some have stayed here. Some are still active. That can happen. But with the kind of profession that this, it's essentially a missile refit, I guess. If 5% were to stay, that would be a success, I would think. I don't see that happening.
I really don't either. And it's not that Minot doesn't have anything to offer. But the thing is when they enter into these agreements, they're not looking like, oh, I think I'll move to Minot. And when the job's done, I'll stay. It's not in their brain. And as far as you mentioned the fact that there's already plenty of jobs that are open and available. My husband and I happen to know several individuals that are currently being paid $17.50 an hour for a 30-hour work week to stay home. And they're not allowed to work. That's part of the condition that they're getting this payment. So is it that we don't have enough people to work, or is we don't have enough people that have to? And who's paying for that? And if somebody wants to tell me it's a government grant or it's a government program, we've already talked about that, haven't we? So our system is so broken. And besides the fact, we also happen to know that several of these people that are getting this 30 per hour week stay at home are getting rent subsidies from the city. Again, the city can't provide rent subsidies. The people provide the rent subsidies. So why are our property taxes going up? Why isn't there anybody to work? Why is it that only certain people are winning and losing? What do you think you are going to be able to do if they plop you in that chair? And from my lips to God's ears, I hope you get it. But do you think you're 1 out of 7? What do you think your odds are?
I honestly don't know. I constantly run into people that say, I can't wait to vote for you. Good for you. I'm so glad you're running. But right now there is kind of an element of throw the bums out. There are two who are currently on the council running. So I don't know. That leaves four of us for three spots that I don't know. But I'm going to do my darndest to educate citizens on what I know to be going on. And I have kind of a different approach to it. If people don't want to vote for me, that's fine. But I will take the veil off of what I actually know. And the thing is I have a reputation for paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
There is, along with all the other problems, but there's a definite morale problem with city employees right now.
What do you think is causing that?
Well, I can tell you right off the bat, it starts with HR.
Okay.
Now, Minot went through a situation about, I want to say 4 years ago now, if they were investigating a hostile work environment, there were accusations made, etc. What came out of that was, and the people making the complaints were actually city department heads.
Oh, gosh.
The result of that is now that a city department head, and these are pretty high paying jobs. A lot of them are making six figures, if not close to.
Ouch. Wow.
In order to be fired from the city of Minot, if you're a city department head, the city manager, the city council, and the civil service commission all have to agree.
Good grief.
So really, the city manager doesn't have any authority, which is a very interesting position to be in because he's supposed to be their superior. Now, when I started looking into issues, and if some people remember, like Rob Port was doing a write-up almost every week on what was going on with the Minot city manager at that time, and he is just a blogger.
Yep.
And here I am, just a citizen, making the same records requests, And the city's HR director sent me a social media message, and I had never met the woman, asking me to come into her office and spar in person.
Okay.
Now, I'm just a citizen at that time. I'm still just a citizen. But if that's how our city HR director is conducting herself, I find out all the other stuff that's going on with city employees, because now people are starting to reach out to me. There is a definite, definite morale problem. And people don't feel like they can trust the HR department.
Well, it strikes me as you have someone there whose first reaction is, you will respect my authority. And that's a pretty tough hill to climb if that's the attitude from the beginning. You can't even have a civil conversation and discuss what's going on. You're walking into something where someone's already jammed the wall down. What are you going to do for transparency?
Well, that's just it, transparency. But see, certain people don't like that. You know, North Dakota state law allows me to make a records request.
Absolutely.
And now when city department heads are denying me those records, I'll tell you, Blake, what happened was, with the complaint of the former city manager, he was threatening to fire city department heads. Therefore, I made the complaint or the records request of all the city department heads to see what the issues were.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one HR file back on one of the city department heads, and that was it.
Wow.
Then when I made the request to the state to get the investigative notes that Patricia Munson did investigating a hostile work environment, I was denied that. Well, then I appealed to the state, and they said, okay, yes, the city of Minot, you have to give it over. Lo and behold, the same day that they released that, I got an email from the HR director releasing the report on her friend, who was the then airport director, revealing that the same time he was negotiating leases for people and threatening to kick them out because they were keeping non-aviation related stuff in their hangars, like motorcycles and golf carts. Well, it turns out he was keeping his 30-foot boat on airport property and then taking some excessive vacation time. And Patricia Munson's investigation into this revealed that. So why wasn't that transparency didn't follow through? Why was I not given? The HR director was covering for her friend, the airport director. That's what was happening.
Wow. Well, Minot definitely has issues. But the thing that I want everyone to understand is today's show is not just a show about Minot. We have issues in Williston, Fargo, Grand Forks, Hillsboro, Walhalla, Dickinson. I mean, what I'm trying to say is these problems are universal. Life is just here, like the rest of us, angry and probably finally reached the wall where he said, enough is enough. I got to try to do something. But these problems you're describing, life, is they're not odd. I hear them, and the fact is I'm not shocked, because I've seen it all over the place throughout North Dakota. And I am hoping that you can bring some transparency as well as some level-headedness to the craziness that is Minot City Council. And what would you like to leave people with today as we close out the program?
Well, since you mentioned North Dakota there and what's going on, it can happen anywhere.
Yep.
Like, I'm proud to be from here. And you can call it North Dakota nice, Midwest nice, what have you. But also realize that can in itself create a problem, because we just assume that people always have our best interest in mind. That's not always the case. Pay attention, get involved, even if it's just on one aspect or one subject to do with your city. If you just start, the more people that pay attention, the less that some people can get away with.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I'm going to end this show by also saying, I always used to tell my students, just because somebody's a nice guy doesn't mean they'll do a good job. And just because somebody's your neighbor doesn't mean you necessarily should vote for them without talking to them and finding out where their head's at. So what I would like everybody to do is research your candidates. Don't just vote, or don't just not vote, because you don't know what else to do. Everybody, it's another marvelous Monday for Common Sense Uncensored. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. And God bless. Take care.